Is it practically, legally, constitutionally possible? Let's set that straight. Professor Pierre DeFosse, Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Cape Town. Is it at all constitutionally possible for a city, a region, a province to break away from what we now know as the Republic of South Africa, Pierre?
No, unless there's a coup or if there's an uprising, something that overthrows the whole constitutional system, it's not possible. Your guest, I quoted the self-determination saying that it is something that is guaranteed in the South African Constitution. That's a lie. There's a provision that says it is possible for the legislature to recognize some kind of self-determination for a group that shares a common culture and language in an area, but there's no such place in South Africa, and it all has to happen within the existing borders of the country. So the succession thing, which also your guest falsely claims is part of self-determination in international law, the succession has never been recognized in international self-determination in international law. Was born in the time of decolonization as a recognition that countries who were colonized by Western powers has a right to govern themselves. So it's a bit odd.
Plenty of people using the Orania example in our WhatsApp line. I admit I've been to Orania 3 times. I, in fact, have had a very positive relationship with the Bosofs. I respect them as people. I've enjoyed my time in Orania. Would I ever want to do, even if I was invited there, live there? Heck no. But what is currently the status? Maybe you can explain that to our listeners. The status of the settlement of Orania in connection to this conversation, Pierre.
I don't think there's any connection in the sense what happened in Orania, as I understand it, is that people went there, they bought the property, and because it is a community where they're all like-minded, and in a way they privatized the town because they bought all the property there. There's not any legal basis for it. There's nothing in the constitution for it. So if you want to go and buy a house there and they say, well, you can't because you're not white, you can take that to court. Yeah. And their decision to refuse to sell your house will be invalidated. Mm-hmm. They would say you would have to sell to somebody else. It just so happens that most people wouldn't want to live there.
That's exactly the point. who would want to be part of a club that wouldn't want you as a member? Same thing with Orania. But let's go to Phil, who says, but we took a vote. We took a vote and we took a poll amongst, they mentioned DA members particular. Does that hold any water? Some suggestions here saying, well, let's take this to a vote amongst people who live, who are ratepayers of various municipalities, who are citizens and call their domiciles registered in the Western Cape. Let's take this to a vote. I would say, and I have no legal opinion to base this on, but that won't hold any legal muster whatsoever.
Yes. So if you have such a vote, say a referendum for the Western Cape, that it is possible to have it. It's provided for in the Constitution. The outcome of that referendum has no legal status and is not legally binding. And in the context of the South African Constitution, it wouldn't make any sense because what the members of one province cannot unilaterally, because they voted for something, overturn the whole constitutional structure. South Africa is one single country in the constitution. The only way to change this is to amend the constitution in a very radical way. So the vote will have no effect, and it shouldn't have any effect because a group of people in the country cannot decide for the whole country how the country should be organized or governed, or whether a part of them should break away. Not for self-determination, because the Western Cape is not a unified cultural and linguistic community, so the people of wouldn't have in national or international law a right to this kind of so-called self-determination.
For constitutional amendments, it requires 2/3. But from what I understand, Pierre, you're the constitutional law professor here, that the founding provisions, chapter 1 of our constitution, actually requires a special majority, more and above than the 2/3, and chapter 1 of our constitution states the Republic of South Africa is one sovereign democratic state founded on these particular values. Would that require some sort of super majority to make any constitutional amendment?
Yes, so you would need 75% of the members of the National Assembly and 6 of the 9 NCLP delegation to support this, which politically, this is of course the other thing, that politically this is not possible. That's why I said in the beginning, the only way any of this can happen is basically through a kind of treasonous overthrow of the government, which is not going to happen.
Professor Pierre de Force, unfortunately I have to leave it there, but thank you so much for your